Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
It's time for a brand new spotlight on here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking zombies, vampires, apes, so much more. Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the spotlight on here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm Yael Teagle. I am with the singing Alex Panovic. Hello.
Stone Cold Crazy. Yeah.
Welcome.
That's awesome. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Thanks.
I'm going to get rid of these headphones and talk to you.
Yeah, good. I'm going to keep mine on.
Okay.
Because I think I'm cool.
I love it.
Thanks. Thank you so much for joining me. You are an amazing actor.
Thank you.
A musician.
Thank you.
A performance capture artist.
I love that you said that.
I know these things. I'm so excited that you're here. And we're starting with a great song.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, because you play music.
I do play music. I played in a band for years, and this was one of the songs that I loved playing live. I just love it. And it was written by Queen, and Metallica redid it, and I love it. I love it. And I'm so happy you guys played it.
That's awesome. Thank you for being here. Tell me about your start in acting, because you did start in music, right? And then you did a little theater.
Yeah. I started, I guess my performance career started in music, and I played in a band with my high school boys from, like, you know, 14, 15 into, and then in different bands after that. But we were together for about 10 years and through those impressionable times. And we toured all over Canada, and it was an amazing time in my life. And then I played some in other bands after that. And then I was playing on a stage, and a casting director asked if I wanted to audition for a film. And I thought that would be super cool. I went and I auditioned and ended up getting the role. And I was like, this is kind of cool. They kind of feed you for free here, and I can eat. And this, as opposed to playing in a band when you're eating noodles from 7-Eleven, right? touring the country. But honestly, I really enjoyed it. And one of my mentors, Rick Skeen, who's in Winnipeg, and he kind of like befriended me, and we kind of started from there. And I just really loved the idea of telling stories and having a vessel to tell stories different ways. And then I started to really kind of look at the fact that, you know, I everyone has a certain type of typecasting that they have. And I know what mine is. And I feel like I want to do more than just be a bouncer or, you know, break people's legs type
right.
thing. So I just started really getting into independent film and short films and theater, and just trying to tell my story in different venues. And I think when you put that energy out there, when you go into audition rooms, it starts opening up, because you've already kind of opened it up on your own. So it's not like a difficult thing to see if you've already done it. So I got really lucky with having great people around me that wanted me to take part in those type of things. And then I get to do films like, you know, like I did Numb, who I also produced, and was such a deep character for me. And then you get to do stuff like Planet of the Apes. And so I got really lucky that I got a little bit past that typecast. But I never find that offensive when people have this typecast thing, because everyone has a certain look that they'll go, okay, that's somebody that can play this role. And then you just need to kind of put the work in and let your guard down and push through for other things that you want to do.
Yeah. I wanted to get there later, but I want to talk about it now.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Because in Van Helsing, it feels like when you started as Julius, it was you're a big dude. You're a scary dude. He's a vampire.
Right, right.
And then the character grew so much. Did you have a say in, you know, getting it more than just what it was in the beginning?
Well, it's what's so interesting about it is that I got cast by, for instance, Simon Barry, who was a phenomenal creator who created Continuum.
Yeah.
And so I did the last season of Continuum, and when I went in to read for him, and then I got the role, he knew me outside of a lot of my work. And so the impressionable thing in the typecast of that the bad dude of Julius, who, you know, his character was he feeds on on blood and power, and he just needs that. And there's a lot of fear involved where he doesn't want to lose the power. And as we develop the story, Jonathan Walker, Matt Venables, Jeremy Smith, Matt Neil LaBute, who all amazing people. And we just did a lot of joking around and having fun on set. And then they implemented this idea of the human Julius and where I can see him going. And so they implemented the boxing background, which I have. And me being a mama's boy, which was a huge thing that kind of worked out really well. So it definitely was something that I love playing human Julius because I rarely get to play those type of characters. But yeah, I did have a little bit of a say, and they were fortunate. I was fortunate enough that they were open to some of my suggestions.
Did you know going into Julius that you would eventually get to human Julius?
No idea. No idea.
Did they know?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I think they might have thought it would be interesting where we can take him, mm-hmm. but not when the series started. I don't think we were there. It was just like, and everyone dies in Van Helsing. So I literally thought I was going to be gone after season one. And then when they told me the whole idea of it, I was over the moon. I was super excited about it.
Yeah, I love human Julius. And I want to talk about him, but I also want to talk about your boxing background.
Yeah.
Your family, you're all boxers.
Yeah,
right?
Well, yeah, my dad and my grandfather and my uncle, they were all boxers in the old former Yugoslavia. And so my brother and I, like, you know, we'd scrap in the yard with the gloves to settle some disputes. I would always win. And,
is he also a giant man?
He's a big man. He's a doctor in Canada, but yeah, he's a big man. We still, he's a big man. I love him. He's my hero. I dig that guy. But yeah, so you know, coming from a boxing background really helped me in music and in theater and film and television, because there's nothing that can challenge the fact that I need to be relaxed and calm when somebody else is going to punch me in the face. Like, you can't be tense and have that kind of moment, or else your creativity goes out the window. Being relaxed and your reactions go out the window when you're tense. So conforming that into acting, and especially theater, when I did a play called Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, where that was a monster of a play for two people. And that was my first play, and I'm now going to perform it in front of people. And I was nervous as – can I swear on here?
You can do what you'd like.
I am nervous as fuck. And then I remembered my boxing background, so I just did a little shadow boxing. I calmed down. And then also said to myself, no one's going to punch me in the face out there. So
This
is not
– that's great.
Just go out there and enjoy yourself. So boxing has really helped me metaphorically and just in life and just going through it for sure.
I think that's going to be my new motto in life when I'm afraid to do anything is no one's going to punch me in the face.
No one's going to punch you in the face. How great is that? You can do anything.
That's such a
– No one's going to punch you in the face.
That's true.
Right? It's the best.
Life motto.
Right.
That's so great. So
unless it's a bar fight.
Right.
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 And we don't want to talk about the bar right now because –
Yep.
Of my little.
Yeah. So so I want to talk a little bit about performance capture.
Yes.
In an interview that you did on Twitter's What's Happening, you talked about how it's acting, but they put the makeup on afterwards with the CGI.
Right.
And how difficult it is to connect with someone with a camera in your face.
Right.
Can you tell us about this experience? Because performance capture is huge right now.
It's the wave of the future for sure. And I did a lot of video games where we started off with the motion capture and just certain, like, runs, you would do a certain run, your body type would do something, you're telling the story through your movement, and I think it's an art, anyone that does it. But the performance capture of it is with the camera, and every little emotion that you're showing is going to be captured. And whenever, let's say that they don't capture that emotion, and the layman may sit back and go, well, they probably fixed that in post. It looks totally different to try to do something that isn't organic. And the audience could tell if they manufactured that. So that was one of the biggest things Matt Reeves told us, and Andy Serkis and Terry Norty, who was phenomenal. And there was an amazing cast that we had was, you know, don't think of this as performance capture. We are in the scene. This is exactly how it's going to be done and how we're going to see it. So the performance has to be there. So it was difficult to be in the suits, because what's great about film and television is that I can, you know, let's say I'm playing a cowboy or something, I'm going to have the getup, and mm-hmm. I'm going to have my little secrets. Like I'll have a necklace sometimes that I wear that has a special meaning to me, that so I know it's on me. Like it's an energy that's on me that for a certain character. And I'll have little secrets. I'll put something in my pocket, or I'll have a pack of smokes in my back pocket, little things that mm-hmm. will add to the character. You can't do that with performance capture. You can't feel your costume and be in your body that way. You're wearing a onesie, a very tight onesie, and with all these dots all over you, all these dots all over your face, and then a camera pointing right at you. So that's difficult. Like if you and I are having this conversation, it would be right here, and I just got to try to look by it, and then the light goes on when we're starting the act. It's crazy. But you start looking past that, and you start looking past the, like, I feel like an idiot type moment. And then you get somebody like Andy Serkis that he kind of pulls you in and goes, this is us, and kind of almost dog whispers you. It's like, okay, let's go. So it's kind of cool. He's next level. He's great.
That's amazing.
But it's definitely an interesting thing to do. And then being able to see the film and see what they did with the characters and how they cut it. Matt Reeves' storytelling was phenomenal, and Andy's performance was next level. It's wonderful.
You've played so many really unique characters, and there's always a lot of, you know, either makeup or prosthetics or CGI. Did you watch, you know, War for Planet of the Apes and see Winter and not see yourself in there? Or could you tell, like, that's me in there?
Yeah, I could tell. Even when I would tell people, like, I played Winter, they would go, I totally see it in the eyes. Like, it's all in the eyes. And a few of my buddies were going, that's your walk. You didn't even practice that walk. That's just you. As they bust my balls. but it's, yeah, like I could definitely see me. It the way I kind of describe it, it feels like rice paper thin ape costume over my body and my face. That's how delicate it is. But it's me under there for sure. Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about Dirk Gently.
Love Dirk Gently.
What a bananas show.
It's ridiculous. Reading the script was ridiculous. Like, I felt like an idiot because I would read it. We wouldn't get the full season. We would just get the script, and then we'd read, like, I don't get this. And I would call my buddy Michael Eklund and just go, what is going on here? I don't know either. And, you know, like, let's just roll with it. Let's just do it.
That's what it's like for the viewers.
Right.
We're watching every episode going, I'm so confused.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it all comes together, mm-hmm. which is really fun.
Everything's connected. Yeah. I want to talk about Weigar's beard.
What? The button beard.
Yeah.
Listen, the creators and the makeup department were phenomenal. And when we had the beard, it was a little shorter and there were tiny buttons in there. And I remember saying, let's just get big and then let's throw some food, some jacks, some bigger buttons, some, like, it was all about the brightness of the buttons mm-hmm. popping out. So it was great that we can both of us jam on the idea of how we can make this character. And then the scars, we really talked about the scars. And Max would come in and just approve everything. Yes, maybe a little bit more there, but that it was great that we got to explore his look a little bit.
Yeah, and you got to be in such a colorful land.
It was beautiful.
What was the set like physically?
Basically, what you saw. Like, there was a lot of things in there that I think one of the sets had massive candy floss. And these pinatas and a massive, massive lollipop.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, this is ridiculously insane, but so much fun. And the whole art department did a fantastic job.
Were you on a soundstage or was it out?
Oh, that was in the forest. A lot of the stuff was in the forest.
So they went and like took a forest and...
Yeah, just we redid it. It's great.
It came out beautifully.
Yeah, like for us, when we would get to set... And a lot of times it would be raining and then we would get there and they'd put the cover on, but then it would open up to this land and we were like, what is going on? And it's so much better when it's organic and in nature and you're in the woods and you're outside and that's there as opposed to a studio.
Yeah. Well, let's take a darker turn mm-hmm. and go to Van Helsing. So as we said, Julius was big and evil and mm-hmm. is now this really... adorable. I think the greatest scene that really like encapsulates who Human Julius is definitely the Doritos.
Yeah, the nacho.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nacho cheese. Yeah,
it's nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese.
That's actually my favorite joke, and makes
it's a
me
good
giggle.
One. It's a good one.
Yeah.
When we were doing that, and Rikia is such a wonderful partner to play with in this, and we've been friends way before Van Helsing. So us sitting there laughing our heads off and me eating as much stuff and Kat, I think they even captured moments in the edit that weren't even supposed to be like on action. As they were going, okay, we're rolling, and we were just talking and playing, and then we rolled into it. And it's lovely when you have a person like Rikia, and such a professional and a great person to kind of do those lines with. And I think it was Neil Abute that wrote that script, and, Just having a blast. It was great.
Yeah, and we're in our third season.
Yes.
So much has happened.
Right.
Julius is now human. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it seems cannot be killed. Cannot be turned.
Right.
That's so far all we know. What can you tell us about the rest of the season or going forward?
Well, what's so interesting, there's some cool relationships happening with the whole cast, and especially for me, I love the fact that the writers got down and they go, what can we make more, what can we do that'll expand Julius, what haven't we seen? And so there's some really cool things happening relationship-wise in this. And I just love the fact that Julius is coming from this redemption part of his journey, where he doesn't – like if he goes out being killed by something that he's doing good, he'll die with a smile. Like that's how he wants to go out, not the old Julius ways. And now he's got the retribution and the resurrecting this idea of him being a good person has to come out. So he's putting his life on the line for everyone that is good. And I love that aspect of it. And it's been a fun journey. And this season, you really get to see where he steps off the deep end for others.
That's so exciting. Yeah. I love where we've gone with Julius. I really do like I like human Julius. I want to keep him around.
Yeah, I do too.
and seeing him with Vanessa, them teaming up was so cute. And him helping her with Dylan was so adorable. You get to see that had he not been turned, he would have been this amazing guy.
Right. And we really kind of worked a lot about the backstory. Like even in season one, I was like, it's hard to connect to Vampire Julius. I need to give him some sort of a backstory, like something where he came from, where he can be this evil. There's got to be something in that turn. And for me, it was, you know, what's the background? What's, you know, what did he lose? What was his job? And we were like, I think he's like a farmer from the earth, like something that he does with his hands. Mm-hmm. You know, the relationship of taking care of his mom, like that whole thing. And so when we moved forward with Julius and where he's going now, the idea of these new things happening in his life, of the retribution again, that's again, it's been really interesting. So the evil Julius, he had a backstory and he had something solid. It's going to be really interesting where you guys see the season going from here. But it's been a blast.
I'm very nervous now.
Yeah. Don't be nervous.
I'm nervous for
Don't
Julius.
Be nervous. But what's been great is like every script that we would read, you know, either was Jackie or Matt or Jeremy or Neil, Jonathan, everyone's script came in. We went, oh my God, I didn't even see this coming. This is awesome. It's been really great. And what a team. Like we have such a great team. The crew, the cast. One of the things I love celebrating is the crew, because without them, like I always find it super funny that I get this chair with my name on it and I go and talk a little bit on a scene and come back and then sit on this chair. Meanwhile, there's dudes running 24/7 to make sure that scene's on point. And I'm like, you, I want to get you a chair. You know, one of my things I love doing is just coming around with a candy tray and just going, look, you guys, I want to feed you guys. Like, they're just so great. All the departments are great. So they work really hard.
Yeah. I mean, the production is amazing, and people always forget you can't really make a TV show without the crew.
Right.
They're kind of really important.
They're way more important than us, I think. They're way more important. I want to give them all chair backs, you know?
I want to talk a little bit about the blood for a second, because that stuff looks disgusting.
Yeah.
First of all, I'll start easy. What does it taste like?
It's very sugary.
Okay.
Almost like a little bit of red licorice, but just extremely sugary.
Okay.
And that's the blood that's supposed to be in our mouth. But when we have the blood that's like on the bodies and stuff, it's a different type of blood. And if that gets in your mouth, then... But
it's not good.
But the blood sprays everywhere in our show. So yeah. We just go for it.
How do you... Watching it, I was like, I need a shower. I feel sticky and
that's
gross.
And that's the thing. It's extremely sticky. So when we have to do another scene or something, like our fingers are stuck together, we have to pry them apart. And the makeup has to come in and take the skin apart a little bit because they're kind of clinging to each other.
Oh, wow.
And again, our makeup team is phenomenal, but it's pretty fun. Like, they'll put blood in. And the thing on the set all the time was just more blood, more blood. And it's like, okay, that's a lot of blood. More blood.
have you ever gone home and taken...
Found it places? Yeah.
Gross.
And it would even scare me. I would even go like showering, getting it all off. And the next day I would shower and like looking at the water in the tub. Well, where's that coming from? Oh, I forgot to wash there.
I'm a little concerned.
Yeah,
little
right? Concerned. That's how deep it goes.
So let's talk a little bit about TNT's Snowpiercer. Which should be coming out in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been announced who you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about this character?
Yeah, I love this. Like, I love the movie. Now, being a part of this and that whole TNT team has been great. And my character is a breachman, Bojan Boskovic. And he does the most dangerous job on the train, which he goes outside and it's like minus 180 type thing where, you know, you can't survive outside. And so I do these type of jobs, and it was great because talking about the character with Graham and how I think, you know, full-fledged type of thing and his ideas, it's been really fun to kind of start massaging the backstory into him and who he is. And Jennifer Connelly has been great. I had one scene with her recently, and she's been nothing but phenomenal. So, and it's such an interesting thing because everything is shot on the train. So our whole set is different train cars. So, you know, and closer to the back of the train or the lower class, and it gets higher classes as you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really interesting storytelling, and it's some pretty cool things happening. And my makeup is awesome. You're going to love my makeup.
I'm so excited.
I wish I could show you a picture, but I can't.
So how far along are you in your journey with Snowpiercer?
We just starting to get going.
Okay.
So it's going to open up a little bit, and I'm excited about it. But it's one of those things where I'm fortunate. Not only am I fortunate enough to work, because it's so hard to work as an actor in this town, but I'm working with great people. So that's what I'm really happy about.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are very excited. We don't have an actual date yet for when we'll get to see it.
Right.
But knowing that you've started is a good sign, right?
Yes, it's a great sign.
It means sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, like I was really fortunate. And I think these are where these moments happen that I'm really thankful for. Because I had a film... screening in Toronto Film Festival called Freaks, which will be out early next year, and you got to see it. It's with Bruce Dern and Emile Hirsch.
Oh.
It's really great.
You got to see it.
Yeah, it's really great. So I had a screening, but I had to work the day, like on the Friday, and the screening was on the Saturday, and I had a full day of press starting at 7 a.m., and I can't tell the show, Snowpiercer, like, wrap me early. All I had to say was like, I have a red eye that I could possibly catch at 11. If you can get me out of here by 9:30, great. If you can't, I'm totally fine with it. Just throwing it out there. Every department, makeup, costumes, director, producers, everyone was going, we're going to try to get you out of here. We're going to try. And this was my first day on set. This is a thing.
Well, what a diva you are. I need to be out. I know I just got here.
I didn't say I need to. Don't. I didn't say I need
Such
to.
Such a diva. Yes, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, if you can, that would be great. And the thing is, they all rallied. They got me out. They even got one of the drivers to drive me there. None of that. They never had to do any of that. And just the love for them wanting to get me out to do this really cool thing and helping me on my first day where I didn't meet anybody is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that's the type of people that are on that show.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's almost unheard
yeah.
of.
So now I'm just going to go every time I work, can you get me out of here in like 10 minutes? That'd be great.
Yeah, I need to be out. Yeah, so I asked fans to submit some questions.
Okay.
So I have some fan questions.
Okay, fan
for you.
Questions.
All right, so I'm going to start with at Tina Marie HG wants to know about Music Rescue and Under the Rock. So Music Rescue, you're directing and producing. It's a reality TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
What can you tell us about this?
A guy named Brent Allery from my hometown, phenomenal guy. He's got a company called Highway 59. And a great musician, he came to me with this, hey, I want to make you a bass guitar. And he makes them out of rescue wood. And I was like, this is so interesting. I would love to see more. And he was telling me stories of why he likes to make instruments from rescue wood. Like it has a history. And I went, I think there's a show in here. So I did some stuff. We started jamming and stuff. And so basically the idea of the show is using rescue wood, finding a story. Basically one of the stories is, I don't want to give away some of the stuff. I'm trying to condense it,
yeah.
But basically a man in his 90s had this cottage that his family goes to, and he met his wife when he was 8 type thing. And we talked about it, and I said, how do you feel about us making a guitar from your cottage and the history of the weight of you being here and this whole family? And he said, I would love that. So we're hoping that we can give that to him so he can pass it down. So the weight of that instrument, yeah. of seeing the history of so many kids and families and adults going through there and passing it down. And we just think that that's such a great idea for different, parts of episodes, that we can find something that's tangible, that means something, that can rescue memories, rescue music, rescue the wood. And we're kind of like giving back. So that's where we're close to developing and pitching it right now. So I'm really excited because I started music. So
yeah.
It's almost like a full circle for
that's
me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
Tell me about Under the Rock. That one's also you're producing and you're going to be a lead and it's a drama.
Yeah, and it's, Matt and Jeremy, they're writers on Van Helsing and co-executive producers and just great dudes. We just love hanging out. And they wrote this thing that they thought I would be great in. And so now we've been kind of jamming on ideas and how we can go forward with making this an actual show, which we think will happen quite soon. But the thing is, what I'm really passionate about, what I really love, I love acting. Acting is a blast. But getting to create stuff and getting to move that creation forward with people that you love to work with. And then on top of that, for me, it blows my mind that the idea of, like, for instance, Simon creating Continuum and seeing how lovely he is with everyone. But there's 150 people on that set that are there and feeding their families because of his idea. That, to me, blows my mind that you can, have this community and give people jobs and everyone coming together because of your idea. That blows my mind, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be giving in that nature where we can actually create something for more people. And that's my job? Like, that's ridiculous. I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of production or producing that you would like to do.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where the journey is all. That's the big thing for me, that journey. If it doesn't get made, then we move on to the next one. But I love that journey. I love climbing the mountain with a bunch of people and mugging a mountain.
Awesome. So Ray Van 87.
Ray, I love her. I love her. She's awesome.
Well, she asks, she says, you play a lot of dark characters. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had trouble getting into the mindset of a certain character? And what do you do to prepare for such a role, other than shadowboxing?
Right. No, but that's a huge one. There's a lot of places. I mean, everyone has their dark places or their dark memories or things that they've gone through. But those ones are difficult. But that's the biggest challenge for me, is to find the little cracks in the well of my instrument and start pulling them out so I can tell a story that will affect other people, and I can basically like telling all these truths that I'm not going to give you the whole thing. It's where I'm bringing it, and affecting other people and moving the story along, not just my character along, and being able to do that. Sometimes it gets pretty tough when it's dark characters, but I do enjoy it because I feel like I'm doing something.
I feel like you do play a lot of dark, bad guy, bouncery, big, scary, gonna punch you in the face.
Keep on going, guys. Keep on going. I think there's more in there.
Terrifying.
But I
feel like currently Human Julius, I would say, based on our very short interaction, is the most similar to you as a person. He's the sweet, gentle giant. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's more you.
Well, that's why, like, I love playing Julius. I think it's been such a blast because, again, I don't play those type of characters. And what makes it exciting for me playing the baddies is because I'm nothing like that in real life. I'm very outgoing. I love having a good time. But when I can go do something where I have to really concentrate and kind of pull stuff out of my toolbox, that to me is really enjoyable to play these dark characters. But when Julius came along, it was one of those things where I'm like, I'm really having a good time, but it doesn't really feel like I'm working because we're just kind of having fun and kind of being in the situation. But I do like playing the bad guys just because it feels like it's thicker work because I have to go somewhere a little bit deeper. But Julius, I love Human Julius. I love Human Julius.
Yeah.
Neil LaBute always threatens to kill me on the show. Do you know that?
We've already discovered that he can't die.
Yeah.
So
but he finds a way.
Nope,
no, he finds a way.
No.
Yeah. Don't. You can't kill me, buddy. Can't kill me.
Good.
Okay.
In the end, it's going to be the Van Helsing sisters and Julius.
Yeah, and I'm just going to be eating nachos, walking into the sunset.
Yeah. That's how the show ends.
Yeah, that's
guys.
It.
You're
that's
welcome.
It. Just a silhouette of nachos.
You've played zombies and vampires and apes, and you play a lot of creatures.
Yeah.
Is there a creature? You've also been aliens. What kind of creature would you like to be?
Oh, what a great question. What kind of creature would I like to be? You know what? I think because it's in my memory and I think it's pretty cool, I think Venom. Like, that's such a cool... that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool character. I dig that creature.
I could definitely see you being Venom.
Yeah.
Less Eddie Brock, more Venom.
Right. Now, who do you think? What creature would you think I would play?
I don't know.
Right? That's a tough question.
Yeah. I think you'd be a really great any creature.
I want to be a squirrel.
Aside from a squirrel, I think you would not.
I think I'd be a good squirrel.
I think you'd be the biggest squirrel I've ever seen.
Right.
Unicorn.
A unicorn.
Yeah.
I could be a unicorn.
Yeah. That'd be great. That'd be so good. So Candy Rose BTV asked.
Candy's very active on Twitter and she's awesome.
Well, she asks, with Halloween around the corner, what are some of your favorite scary movies?
Trick or Treat is a big, I'm a fan of that one. My buddy Tomo was in that. Friday 13th are right up there. 28 Days Later is a good one. Mm. And like the old like 1930 Dracula or Creature from the Blue Lagoon. Black Lagoon?
Blue?
Yeah.
A lagoon of some sort?
A lagoon of some sort.
Yes.
All those, like growing up and watching those were totally freaking me out. But I love all those that type of stuff.
Do you dress up for Halloween? Because you dress up pretty much for life.
Right. And that's what I say a lot of times. But I have dressed up a couple times. Not sure if I'm going to dress up this time. One time, I'll tell you a little something.
All right. It's just us.
Tomo Panikit and I, a good friend of mine, we were in Los Angeles and he was like, we're going to go to my director's house for a Halloween party. We got to get you a costume. I'm like, buddy, I have no costume. He goes, let's go shopping right now. And Tomo has a way of talking me into stuff a lot. So we go in and he goes, okay, well, how about that one? And it was this big baby. It was a big baby outfit with the diaper and like the safety pins like that big. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not wearing that. But he goes, oh my God, it'd be so great. They'll love it. They'll totally love it. I'm like, I'm not getting it. So we look around. Nothing else can fit me in the store but this baby outfit. And he keeps on going, see, you're meant to have it. So I put on the baby outfit. And so I buy the baby out. We go back to the hotel and that guy, Tomo, just was a ninja. And all he had on was a robe. So he just tied his robe. I'm like, why am I So I tried mine on, and it barely fit, and I'm now a mad baby because I'm looking in the mirror going, I'm not going out like this. My bonnet, it's kind of falling, this massive suit or this safety pin. Tomo's crying, saying, let's just go. They're going to love it. Everyone's going to love this. You're going to be a hit of the party. I'm like, fine. But I'm now a mad baby going, fine. We get to the party, and he's like, this is going to be great. They're going to love it. They're going to love it. We open the door, and he goes, Tomo, hey, how are you? Okay, come on up. Just gave me this bad look, and I look at Tomo, and he's like, so the whole night I was just mad baby. Grumpy mad baby, and Tomo kept on going, talk to my baby. Somebody talk to my baby. Cheer up my baby. It was a very terrible time in my life.
I really hope you drank a lot as the baby.
Yeah, I did.
Good.
I did. And I was just mad baby. And made Tomo laugh even more. Like, I couldn't intimidate anybody. It's like, why is that baby so mad?
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, now you own this costume, and it's a backup for every year.
I'm not doing it again. You're not going to make me do it again, Tomo.
I personally am going to find a way to make this happen again.
Don't.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Okay.
Never knit drunk, speaking of drinking.
She's awesome.
Has a question.
I love these guys are pouring in. This is awesome.
You've played a wide range of roles, comedy, drama, good guy, bad guy, evil, vampire, CGI, real life. Is there any genre or character type that you haven't gotten to dive into that you'd like to try?
Wow, genre character. See, I immediately wanted to say like a romantic comedy.
Oh, tell me about a romantic comedy.
But I did do one like very early in my career called Taming Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to do it again because it was really early and I think I would love to do it again. But something like that. Something where it's not like you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah.
Cool little love story, funny thing.
I can see you doing a rom-com.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to do it. You want to make one with me?
Okay. I mean, I'm not an actor, but yes.
No, we're going to do it.
Okay.
Okay. What would we call our rom-com?
The
buzz is on.
Sure. That's happening.
I love it.
I'm going to start blushing. Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Has there been anything that you have yet to do that you want to do?
I was asked that a while ago. I'm not too sure. Like, I've done some very cool things. Either like it was a small role or it became a bigger role. But I've done a lot of things. So I can't think of anything that I haven't done that I would want to do.
Okay.
It's not, I've been thinking about, like, I love the idea of being put, like, physically being put through something in a film where it's like I really put my craft on the line, and that's what we did for a movie called Numb.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the cold, and it was one of those things where, like, Jamie Bamber from Battlestar Galactica was in it too, and he was shoving snow in his boots so he would feel the cold, and I was putting it in my back, and like it was one of those things. We really went for it, and then we ended up doing it. So that was one thing that I've always wanted to do, is feel the elements and kind of capture that. But yeah, I would love to hear suggestions of something that I haven't seen Alex do. This, I want to see what that is.
Oh.
Somebody wants to Twitter it up.
They can tweet that at you.
Perfect.
It would be amazing.
Perfect.
Where, in fact, would they tweet that?
Oh, they
you?
Would tweet that at Alex Pon on Instagram and Twitter, and my fan page on Facebook, Alex Ponovic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And the third season, Van Helsing, currently airing Friday nights on the Sci-Fi Channel.
That's right. Friday nights, Sci-Fi. Get it.
Yeah.
Get it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for
having
me.
This was super fun.
This was amazing. My fangirl dreams have come true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and we're doing a movie together, too.
Yeah. We're going to do a rom-com.
We're
going
to do a rom-com. How great is that?
Oh, I've got it. You're going to be a giant baby.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be a giant baby, and you found me, and then you're trying to return me to my mom.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's the rom-com.
Yeah. And then you fall in love with a giant baby?
Sure.
Wow. This is great.
This got weird.
This got a little weird.
It's in the world of Dirk Gently. That's where it fits.
That's right. It'll all make sense in the end.
Awesome.
Everything's connected.
Everything's connected. Thank you all so much for joining me. I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's Yaeltygiel. And buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.